prayers be unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever been really thirsty? It's easy down here. Remember in South Carolina, son Michael was probably about 7th grade. He'd come in from outside and he would want something to drink. But he always wanted pop. And his mother tried to explain to him there was only water that would really satisfy his thirst. He grew up and he worked in the heat of the day. He found that the only thing that really satisfies our need is water. But what about, as in Flint, Michigan, that water contains lead? What about if that water contains even a small amount of cyanide or some other chemical? It's still water, but because it's been contaminated, it no longer has that healing benefit to take care of our thirst. In fact, it really is harmful to us. We begin now a study of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Galatia is Asia Minor, it'd be Turkey, today the country of Turkey. And Paul had established congregations in Antioch and Pisidia, in Lystra and Derbe, Iconium. But now he was concerned because the gospel, the good news of Jesus that he had preached to these people, was being contaminated by other false teachers who were following after him. And so he addresses this short letter of Galatians, 6 chapters, to these Christians and to you this morning. Begin with the first chapter, Galatians 1, the first 10 verses. Paul, and this is our signing the letter. They did it much more efficiently. They signed it at the front so you knew who you're reading it from. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. Now comes salutation to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want you to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men. For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And these are words. Just as with the water, a changed, a contaminated gospel is no gospel at all. The most important question that you need to ask yourself is, what is going to happen to me when I die? Now, people don't like to face this question. Many people back in Paul's day, also in our own day, think that human existence is confined to this world. When you die, you're dead. No hereafter, no heaven, no hell. Your hell is here on this earth. But God has put something into us based on the creation of this world, the natural knowledge of God, and also the conscience that He has put in even those who do not have the Scriptures, that man knows that there is more. But he does not know how to obtain heaven. He tries. All the different religions of the world basically try to tell man what he has to do in order to become accepted by God. And you get some pretty strange answers. The reality is that it is sin that separates us from God. And again, man does not like to think in terms of his own sinfulness. He can see sin in others, but most of people conclude, I'm okay, you're okay. And yet, there is an increasing anxiety and guilt that's filling this generation that seemingly has everything, but has nothing. What is God's answer to sin? Because sin causes death. By sin, death entered into God's world and passed upon all people because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no matter how much you try, you cannot do enough to earn God's love or God's acceptance. In human terms, it is a terrible thing when a child is raised in such a way that no matter what he or she does, they can never receive the approval of their father. God is different. God did something for us apart from anything that we've done or earned or deserved. God gave His only Son as the substitutionary sacrifice that would pay for our sins. And this came to us by grace. The gospel is pure water, pure grace. God loved you. But God's love is in action. Verse 4 in our text. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4, who gave Jesus for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Grace. God gave His own Son. And His Son, Jesus, willingly stepped in our place, suffered everything that He suffered while He was here on earth, culminating not just in the rejection of His own people, not only the physical pain of the crucifixion and the trials, not only dying, but Jesus took our sins and suffered willingly the punishment of hell itself. My God, Jesus cried out on the cross, why have you forsaken me? And God forsook Jesus because of our sins. But now, in God's undeserved grace and love, He gives us the forgiveness of all our sins. He takes our guilt away. He takes the eternal punishment of hell away. And he is pure, unadulterated grace. That's the gospel. Verse 1, Paul also refers to the simple, pure gospel. Paul was an apostle, not because some church council has appointed him as an apostle, not because he appointed himself as the apostle. It was God the Father and Jesus Christ. It was, as he says in verse 1, through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In Corinthians, Paul says the gospel is very simple. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. Jesus rose triumphant from the grave. That's the gospel. Somebody asks you, what must I do to be saved? Don't go down the road that starts listing all the things that person has to do. Paul and Silas said to that jailer at Philippi, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's the pure gospel. Nothing added. Also on the cross, before he died, Jesus says, it is finished.
Amen.
Everything's done. Your sins have been paid for. But you know what? Man in his pride always wants to think, well, I have to add something to the pure water of the gospel. I have to do something to earn God's love. And so, man changes God's pure gospel by adding works. Something that I have to do that makes me better than those that don't receive God's grace. What was it in Paul's day? This entire book is written because there were what were called Judaizers. These were Jews who believed in Jesus, but they had to add something. They said, if you're going to be saved, Jesus is a good start. But then you have to keep the Old Testament law and regulations given through Moses. You have to be circumcised. You have to observe the Sabbath regulations. You have to observe all the rules and the regulations of the Old Testament. You've got to add all of this to Jesus to make your salvation sure. And they were going around preaching this to the people. And even Peter got infected in chapter 2 when he kind of got away from those Gentiles and wouldn't eat with them. Got to add something to the gospel. And so Paul calls these people who would add something to the pure gospel of God's grace, he called them accursed. It's pretty strong language. They were accursed because they were polluting, adding, destroying God's free grace proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. No different in Luther's day. Church in Luther's day said, God sent Jesus to die for your sins, be baptized. But then they started adding all this stuff that you have to do. Luther was raised in the church which told him, you have to do these works in order to earn God's love and forgiveness. And he just about wore himself to death trying to do enough, and it never was enough. And then he discovered the pure gospel. Jesus died for my sins. That's the gospel. Today, even in the church's Christianity in general, this concept, Jesus died for your sins, but you've got to live a life that earns that forgiveness. It's preached in such a way, okay, Jesus died for you, but now you have to keep God's law. And sometimes it's not God's law, it's man's law. The rules, the regulations that the church imposes upon people. You have to do something. And you can understand it, because a lot of people are like the ones Paul described in Romans 6. God forgave me so that I can sin all the more. For some people, the law, the gospel becomes a license to do whatever I want. Who cares? God's going to forgive me. Paul says, no. But to counteract that, people add this stuff. You've got to come to church, you've got to pray, you've got to give, you've got to do things for people, and it becomes law, not gospel. To all of these, the apostle says, you are accursed. For anybody that brings you an impure gospel destroys the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul defends the gospel. He says, I'm surprised that so soon you're turning away from the gospel. It hasn't been more than a couple of years that he was in Galatia, and already they were turning away from Jesus and the gospel. They were adding things to the gospel. He says, even if an angel from heaven, or even if I would preach anything different than the gospel, let him be accursed. What a precious treasure we have in the free grace proclaimed in the gospel. And the gospel alone, Paul says, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Oh! You've got to believe. You've got to accept. You've got to make a decision to let Jesus into your heart, and then you'll be saved. The gospel says no. The gospel itself, by grace, without anything you do, produces faith in your hearts. God's gospel is pure. It satisfies your deepest needs. Sometimes as a confessional Lutheran church, we're accused, and maybe sometimes we're guilty, of emphasizing the fellowship principle about not worshiping, working with others who teach differently. If this becomes something that you add to the gospel in order to be saved, it is wrong. But we also need to maintain the gospel, the truth of the Word. Because the Word, the Scriptures, are the vessel which contains the gospel. Somebody used the illustration that you got a wheel, bicycle wheel, wagon wheel. The hub. That's what holds the wheel together. That's the important part. That's the gospel. The spokes are the different teachings of Scripture. Baptism. Communion. God's will. All of these are the spokes. You take the spokes out, the wheel collapses. But never forget that the center, the essence, is the gospel. God's grace and love and forgiveness proclaimed to real sinners who repent of their sins and by the power of the Holy Spirit simply believe in Jesus as their Savior. So we get down to it. The question, what must I do to be saved? Am I going to heaven? It's not difficult to answer. The gospel answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen. Now may that peace of God which passes all human understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.